him after the name of the mother of Isa alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam, whose story is mentioned in verse 16 to 37. And it is because of this name we have the name of the surah. As I said before in many of our classes, that there are many different things that are mentioned in a surah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes just take a single name, one small incident, and that becomes the what? The incident of the topic of discussion of the surah. Surah Nahl, the bee is only mentioned one place in Surah Nahl. Surah Naml, the ant, just one place, Surah Naml. Unlike Surah Yusuf, that the entire surah from beginning to end was about Yusuf alayhi salam. Surah Kaf, many incidents, one incident about the Kaf, and it takes its name like that. So too, the name of the surah is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to pinpoint and what He wants to emphasize on. Okay, so this is why when it is known as Surah Maryam, it means that the main topic of discussion in this surah is about Maryam alayhi salam, and that is the maqsad and the purpose of the revelation of this surah, to speak about this miraculous birth, to show that Allah is Al-Qadir Al-Mutlaq. He is the one who is all-powerful over every single thing. The surah establishes the oneness of Allah, Tawheed, and also refutes false allegations of polytheism and disbelief made by the unbelievers. So it makes nafi, negation of shirk on one hand, and nafi of kufr on the other hand. And when there is the negation of shirk and kufr, then the establishment of tawheed for itself occurs. Along with this, the surah highlights the true beliefs of resurrection and retribution, that there will be a day of judgment and there will be a retribution, there will be jaza and saza, punishment and rewards, and emphasizes the belief of the existence of Allah. The wujud of Allah is known as the existence of Allah, and tawheed is another thing. Tawheed does not mean the existence of Allah. The existence of Allah does not mean tawheed. For there are many who believe that there is a creator, but about him they believe he has partners, he has children, he has helpers, he has equals. So although people may believe in the wujud and existence of Allah, they do not accept the what? Belief in tawheed. So there are two things that are important for us to know. One is that there is a creator, there is Allah. There is Allah. There is the supreme maker, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who has created us all, and he governs the heavens and the earth. But that one who governs, he has no partner, he has no children, he has no helpers, he is wahid, he's one. And that is what Tawheed is about. To establish the belief that this creator is one who has no helpers. And by establishing there is the wujud and existence of Allah, and by establishing that there is the oneness of Allah, and refuting shirk and refuting kufr, for itself these ayats put together, it shows man what is sirat mustaqim and what is dalalat, what is the right path and what is misguidance, thus showing man the pathways of guidance and misguidance. While establishing these, the surah relates the birth of two great prophets of Allah, both of which are known to be miraculous in nature. Firstly, mention is made of Zakariya alayhi salam and his son Yahya alayhi salam. And then the incidents surrounding the birth of Isa alayhi salam are given, how it happened, etc. Both of these In the very beginning of the surah, in fact, the surah starts about Zakariya alayhi salam. And immediately after it ends, after surah 15, as soon as it ends, Allah says to the Prophet and mentioned them to them the incident of Maryam. As soon as it finishes. Because the maqsad and the purpose, it is to show how powerful, how great Allah is. And over the period of time, people do develop the attitude and the belief, they develop the belief that, yes, there is a God and there is a creator, but He cannot do everything. He is incapable. He cannot reach out to all of mankind one time. He cannot do everything one time, so He needs helpers, etc. So these incidents indicate directly to the great power, strength. Allah can create without asbab and causes. Allah is Al-Qadir. Allah is Al-Qahir. The one total in control over His entire creation. Whatever He decrees, it comes to pass. Whatever He wishes, it comes to pass. Sometimes people do not want something, Allah makes it happen. And sometimes people want something, and Allah does not make it happen. A man makes his plan and he works towards the fulfillment of his plans, Allah does not allow the plan to come about. And a man he doesn't make any plans at all, there is no plan, Allah makes something come about. Mention is also made of other great messengers of Allah, such as Ibrahim alayhi salam, Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub, Musa, Harun, Ismail, Idris, Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam. All these Anbiya's mention is made about them. The surah continues in this manner by placing before man some of the occurrences of the day of judgment while describing the terror and the horror of that day. What will happen on the day of judgment? And then what will be the azab like on the day of judgment? The chapter then concludes by negating partners which have been ascribed to Allah by the unbelievers. Coming down to the end now. So the surah begins. Zakariya alayhi salam, Maryam alayhi salam. It goes in the middle. Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, Musa, Harun, Ismail, Idris, Nuh alayhi salatu wassalam, alayhi salatu wassalam. And through all these, we have the establishment of Tawheed. Allah refutes shirk. Allah refutes kufr. He shows what happened to the people in the past, establishes the day of judgment, what will happen on the day of judgment, Jannah, Jahannam, all these things happen. And then comes down again to the end. It comes down to the end again. Remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look at a beautiful connection in this surah between the incidents. It starts with two miraculous births. Yahya alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And now the surah is coming to an end. Allah tells them, you see, that person I created miraculously, and you people couldn't understand that, and you have taken him as my son, that is shirk. And that is how the surah comes to an end. How they misjudged and mistook and misunderstood Allah's makhluk. How great Allah is, showing that if this person was created without the intervention of a male, then he had to be someone special. Who would be his father if Allah is not his father? So Allah refutes that in the end of that surah. So He introduces it by showing His greatness. An incident can be mentioned, and that incident, there will be so many different reasons for it. This is why, as the commentators have stated, there is no repetition in the Quran. In many surahs, you will find Isa alayhi salam, you will find Musa alayhi salam, but yet it is not repetition. Why? Repetition will only be considered as a repetition when the same lesson and the same objective is given. But if on each occasion this incident is mentioned for something else, then that is not repetition. A different lesson is learned at each time. On each occasion, that Nabi is being spoken about, but a different lesson is given, then that is not repetition. So in the beginning, Allah spoke about Isa alayhi salam, but the purpose of that was to show us how great Allah is. So he mentions about Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, his birth, how it took place. But that was not to show that he should not be called the Son of God or the Son of Allah. No, that was to show us how great Allah is. And in the end of the surah, Allah makes mention of Isa alayhi salam again. But that time is to show that he does not share divinity with Allah. He is not the Son of Allah. So that's a different maqsad and a different purpose. There is no repetition. And it is where we will judge throughout the Holy Quran. Every time an incident is mentioned, it is about something else. It's a different lesson. So the chapter then concludes by negating partners which have been ascribed to Allah by the unbelievers. In this regard, the surah refutes the concept of a son for Allah or peers and equals, all of which he is free from. The surah has been named Surah Maryam. As I said, many Anbiyas, as we have seen here, Ibrahim, Ishaq, Yaqub, all these Anbiyas who are great Anbiyas, some of them are Rasul. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken one incident, and after that incident, the name of the surah was placed. And the incident was with respect to Maryam and her son, Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. And so Allah named it Surah Maryam. Why? In order to highlight this great miracle, which remains as a permanent lesson of the existence and the power of Almighty Allah. That Allah is real. Allah is not a fabrication. Allah is not an illusion. Allah is not an imagination. Allah is real. Subhanallah. Allah is Haqq. There is no doubt about that. It is not something coming in the mind of a person. As atheists believe, as the Zanadiq, the Zindiqa, those people who disbelieve in the existence of Allah, they all attribute it to the mind. The mind. Na'uzubillah. So Allah is real. And in order to prove that, he shows all his miracles. And these things were shown to prove that Allah is real. Surah Maryam commentary. Allah starts by saying, Kaf ha ya ayn sad. It is what? Huruful muqatta'at, the broken up letters, which are cut up. And as I mentioned in many different lessons about those surahs which begins, those surahs which begin with these letters, it is to show the ijazul Quran, the miraculous neatness of the Holy Quran. It is to make these people understand that they are ajiz, they are incapable of reproducing a single verse like the Quran. It is to make these eloquent Arabs understand that although the person who claims to be a prophet in their eyes is that he doesn't know anything and he's a Nabi al-Ummi, the unlettered prophet, yet they can't even bring a simple few words like that which he has recited unto them. So the Quran says, Kaf haya ayn sad. Tell them. The message is this. O Muhammad, tell them to translate this if they have knowledge. If they really possess eloquence and real knowledge of the Arabic language, and the Holy Quran is revealed in the Arabic language, tell them to translate Kaf haya ayn sad. They don't know. Tell them to translate Alif Lam Mim or even Yasin. They don't even know. But that is their language. They always call the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as al-ummi, the unlettered one, who doesn't even know the language. They call him insane and a sorcerer and all these names. Allah says, okay, keep your names for yourself, but just simply tell me the meaning of this. You can't. Up to today, it's a challenge which the Quran has given. This is a mention, the Quran says. This is a mention of the mercy of your Lord to his slave Zakariya alayhi salatu wassalam. Hatha dhikru. This is the mentioning, Allah says. Meaning that this what is going to be mentioned to you now, O Muhammad, it is about how the mercy of Allah came to his slave and Nabi Zakariya alayhi salam. This is what is going to be revealed to you right now. Remember, tell the people, remind the people of what took place so many years ago, that Zakariya alayhi salam called out to his Lord in a secret manner. Du'an khafiyya. He made a supplication to Allah, khafiyya, in a hidden manner. In a secret manner, meaning not loud, not public. He was all alone by himself. The best way to supplicate to Allah and to make dua to Allah is secretly. No one knows what you are saying. That is only known between you and Allah. So he called out to Allah. What did he say to Allah? Saying, "My Lord, indeed my bones have grown feeble." In other words, I am old. And gray hair has spread on my head. And I have never been unblessed in my invocation to you. Oh my Lord, I have never been. In other words, you have never rejected my supplication. You have never denied me what I had asked you for. And verily, I fear my relatives after me, since my wife is barren. So give me from yourself an heir, an offspring, a child. Someone who will inherit from me. Who shall inherit me? Who shall inherit the knowledge that I have? And inherit the posterity of Yaqub. In other words, who will also inherit from the knowledge of Yaqub alayhi salam, which was given to me. I want someone who will inherit that. Anbiyas do not have inheritors. You cannot inherit from a Nabi. Because what a Nabi leaves to the people is al-ilm, knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself said, "We the Anbiyas, we do not leave heirs behind us. We do not make people inheritors of gold and silver behind us. But people become inheritors of knowledge. So whosoever takes that knowledge, they have taken an abundance of goodness. And this is what Anbiyas leave behind. So yarifuni, he shall inherit from me what? Ilm, knowledge. And he shall inherit from Yaqub alayhi salam again what? Knowledge. And Zakariya says, and make him, my Lord, one with whom you are well pleased. Make him beloved to you. Make him such a person that his actions are good, that you will become pleased with him." The commentators have stated a very beautiful point here. That here Zakariya alayhi salam did not have a child, he was already old. And he was praying for a son. But what type of child he prayed for? Surah Ali Imran mentions Zurriyatan Tayyiba, a righteous child. A righteous child. A child who will become beloved to Allah. So the commentators state, from this we learn that if at any time a person should beg Allah for a child and supplicate to Allah, make dua to Allah that you get a pious offspring, a righteous offspring, one whose actions will be pleasing to Allah. You are already asking for something. If Allah decides to give you, then why not ask for something that is completely good? Then half is good and half is not good. You already asking Allah for a child, then ask for a child in a perfect manner. Oh Allah, give me a pious child. Give me a righteous child. And if Allah accepts your dua to give you a child, then that child will be a righteous child, inshallah. That is the kind of dua we are taught. All the Anbiyas, whenever they made, Ibrahim alayhi salam, all these Anbiyas. Oh Allah, I want a child. But not only a child. Remember the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said a sign of the hour of judgment is that a child will become a burden and a means of grief and sorrow for the father and the parents. So, not any and any child. Remember the child that is mentioned in Suratul Kahf, that child which was going to bring down the parents and Allah commanded Khizr alayhi salam to take his life. Allah did not want that child to become a misery to the parents, Allah took that child away. So not any and any child, a righteous child, a pious child, God-fearing child, subhanallah. That is what we need. That is what Zakariya alayhi salam asked Allah for. And he says, I want that child to inherit the knowledge you have given to me. And I want that child to inherit the knowledge from the previous prophets. Subhanallah. Beautiful dua. I want you to make that child a very righteous person with ilm, with understanding, with hikmat. That child will understand. Allah said, O Zakariya, verily we give you the glad tidings of a son. His name shall be Yahya. We have given that name to none before him. It's a beautiful thing about the name of Yahya. No one in the world before him had that name, Yahya. Special name. Look how Allah accepted the dua. He said, not only I will give you a child, but I will put his name also, subhanallah. In this world, whenever we have a child, we are very happy, become proud. And we want to make sure we do everything that is best for that child. So we go to someone who we look up to as being very great. We say, you give that name to the child for me. And when that person gives the name of the child, we become proud. You know, and later on when the child grows up, we remind you, do you know who gave you that name? And by just calling the person's name, there is this sense of, you know, that type of feelings in a person. He feels good about it. Subhanallah, such and such a person gave me that name. Just imagine Allah himself gave Yahya his name. He didn't choose. He didn't ask the parents to choose. He said, I'm going to put his name Yahya. That is his name. And so to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, name was put by Allah as Ahmad. His name, Allah put his name as Ahmad. This is why it is with the name Ahmad he is mentioned in the previous scriptures. All the previous scriptures, he is mentioned with the name Ahmad. In Surah Saf, when Isa alayhi salam shares the glad tidings to his disciples, he says, one is coming after me and his name shall be Ahmad. Muhammad was the name that the grandfather saw in a dream. Angels put that name, and the grandfather saw in a dream someone telling him, this child will be a blessed child. Put the child name Muhammad. And he put the name Muhammad. But Muhammad and Ahmad, they have the same derivatives. They have the same original from the word Hamd. Praised one, praiseworthy one. He said, Zakariya alayhi salam said, my Lord, Rabbi, how can I have a son when my wife is barren and I have reached the extreme old age? Zakariya alayhi salam asked for the son. He's not surprised that he's asking for a son and he knows he's so old. Look at it. He's not surprised that he's asking for a son and he's so old. When he gets the glad tidings, then he becomes surprised. Understand? Now he's asking. Now if a person is asking, look, I'm old and my wife can't have a child, I'm asking. When he gets the information, now then he becomes surprised. He says, how can I have a son? I am old, my wife is barren. He said, so it will be, the angel is speaking. So it will be, the angel says, your Lord says, it is easy for me. Certainly, I have created you before when you had been nothing. In other words, you want to think how I'm going to create that child? Well, look at yourself. You were nothing once upon a time, but here you are. You were created. So too, your child is not here today. And just as I had created you, your child will be created in the same manner. Zakariya alayhi salam said, my Lord, appoint for me a sign. Show me a sign. Give me a sign. He said, your sign is that you shall not speak unto mankind for 3 nights, though having no bodily defect. It means, it's not that there will be a sickness with you. It is not that something will happen to you which will cause you not to speak. No. You will be fit, you will be good, you will be healthy. But this is what Allah will cause to happen, that you will not be able to speak to anybody. This is what that ayat means. So, After some time, he was in his mihrab. Mihrab, we know the mihrab of the masjid, the front area in those days, in their masjid also. They had a mihrab. Then he came out to his people from al-mihrab, the place he will normally stay to worship Allah. He told them by signs, because he could not speak to them, but through signs he said to them, glorify Allah's praises in the morning and in the afternoon, you know, preaching to them that they should remember Allah and glorify Allah. It was said to his son, eventually the son was born, the son was growing up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the son, O Yahya, hold fast to the scripture. Hold fast onto it, learn it, preach it, practice it. And we give him wisdom while yet a child. We give him wisdom while he was still a child. Allah says we granted him wisdom. And we made him sympathetic to men as a mercy from us. And he was made pure from sins. Never committed a sin. Never made a mistake. Subhanallah, Yahya. Look at the effects of the dua. Ana. He says, a pure son I want. Zurriyatan tayyiba. Tayyiba means pure. All I want, a pure offspring. Allah says, we'll give you that. Subhanallah. In certain riwayats, which have, the riwayats have been recorded by Imam Hafiz ibn Kathir. Although some of the riwayats are mursal, they are still acceptable. One tradition, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, every son of Adam on the day of judgment will stand up with some sin that they had committed. That doesn't mean that over there you will have the sin, but in your past life, even if tawbah was made and repentance was there, okay, that is gone. But the fact is that in your earthly life you committed a sin. It's every son of Adam will stand up on the day of judgment, ذَنْبٍ with zamb, with sin. إِلَّا يَحْيَى بِنْ زَكَرِيَّا, except Yahya, the son of Zakariya alayhi salam. Sinless, stainless, totally pure. That's how Allah made him. And Allah is saying this in the Quran. Very pure. We made him hananan, hanana, hanana. Sympathetic. That is the word used in the Quran. The translation is given as sympathetic. That's the closest English word to describe. Wahanana, the Quran says, and we will make him hanana. Hanana comes from the word hanna. Hanna means someone who has a lot of compassion, a lot of love in his heart. The love that makes him very, very soft. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the day of judgment, a man will be thrown in the fire of hell. And for 1,000 years, he will be crying unto Allah, Ya Hannanu, Ya Mannan, Ya Hannanu, Ya... calling on that softness of Allah. Ya Hannan, Ya Hannan. For 1,000 years, he will be calling that name. Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan. So Hannan is a special sifat. And this is the sifat that is used for Yahya alayhi salam, wa hanana in the Holy Quran. You will find it. Wa hanana min ladunna. And a hananan from us. A person who is made soft and compassionate from ourselves. We made him like that. And as a mercy from us. Rahmatan. Allah says we made him as a mercy. And pure. Wa zakatan. Zakat, you know, means purity. Allah uses that word for Yahya alayhi salam. Zakatan. Wa taqiyya, and he was righteous. Free and pure from sins and righteous. Allah says, and dutiful towards his parents. Not only dutiful to Allah, not only pious and righteous in the sight of Allah, but he was fully obedient to Allah and fully obedient to his parents also. And he was neither arrogant nor disobedient. Subhanallah. Never had pride and arrogance in his heart. Allah says, and salamun salam. Peace be on him the day he was born, the day he dies, and the day he will be raised up to life again. Three times Allah has placed salam upon him. Three times Allah has blessed him with peace. The day he was born, the day he dies, and the day he will be raised up to life again. So, a little commentary of the surah from the very beginning in our own wounds, explaining these ayats which came in Surah Maryam. The surah begins with huruf al-muqatta'at, which are considered by the commentators as being from the mutashabihat, those verses that have the allegorical meaning, not direct meaning, not clear meanings that everyone can understand. Verses whose knowledge is known to Allah alone. No one knows about it except Allah. In the above verses, mention is made of the incidents relating to the birth of Yahya alayhi salam, who was born to Zakariya alayhi salam, a prophet of Allah who had grown old, and his wife who was barren. For most of his life, Zakariya alayhi salam remained without a child, and now that old age had entered, he feared that he may depart from the world in a state where no one may continue his mission. Although he had relatives, he feared that they may not uphold the teachings of Allah. That is what he said. See verse 5? Look at that. Verse 5, what he says? And verily I fear my relatives after me. What does he fear about his relatives? The question comes up. He's saying to Allah, I fear my relatives after me. Are they going to cause some harm to him? No. He fears that now, probably they are upholding the laws of Allah. But if when I die, whether they will continue to uphold the teachings of Allah, and they may continue this mission and the da'wah till Allah, I fear they may not do that. So, oh Allah, you bestow to me someone who will carry on this job. That is the fear that is mentioned here. And I fear my relatives after me. So this is why it says, although he had relatives, yes, there were others. Person can say, well, his nephew or somebody could have carried on. In fact, his nephew was who? Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. His wife and Maryam, they were two sisters, according to the commentators. They were two sisters. And 6 months after, her name was Isha, as given, the wife of Zakariya alayhi salam. 6 months after she conceived with Yahya, Maryam conceived with Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. Okay? So he had relatives, but he feared that they may not uphold. As such, he supplicated to Allah in a secret manner, to bless him with an offspring who shall inherit the knowledge of prophethood. That is what is meant by who shall inherit me, which he possessed and had inherited from the previous prophets. So he, Zakariya alayhi salam, inherit this knowledge from the previous prophets. So whatever he inherited from the previous prophets, he wanted his son to inherit that from him. We understand? While supplicating, he placed his weakness and inability before Allah and also acknowledged the previous favors of Allah. He also indicated in his supplication that his request for a son was not for any worldly purpose, but instead it was for the propagation and continuation of the true religion. The true religion that through his noble deeds and actions shall become beloved to Allah. 3 things Zakariya alayhi salam placed before Allah, asking Allah to accept his dua. 3 things. And this is why the commentators of the Holy Quran on this point stated that this was akrabu ilal ijaba. This was that which was done which brought about quick acceptance to the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam. 3 things. What did he say first? My Lord, indeed my bones have grown feeble and gray hair has spread on my head. He is expressing his weakness and feebleness to Allah. He is expressing how incapable he is to do anything. Oh Allah, I am old. Look at mine hair, oh Allah, it's gray. Oh Allah, look at mine bones, oh Allah, it is weak. I cannot do anything. Okay? That's the first thing. That's the first thing a person should do in his dua when he wants Allah to accept his dua. Allah, you know you are my creator, and I cannot do this, and I've never done it on my own. I've always asked you to help me, so Allah, I beg you to help me. Humble yourself and place your inability and your weakness before Allah, because in front of Allah we have no strength. We are weak. We are poor. We have nothing. We are standing and bowing and prostrating before Subhanallah. Malikul Mulki, the Lord of the entire dominion of the heavens and the earth. So the first thing he did, he wants to ask for a son, but what does he say first? Oh Allah, I am weak. Mine hair, look at mine hair, it's gray. Allah has mercy on old people who has gray hair. Then he said, the second thing he said is that I have never been unblessed in my invocation. Okay, now along with that weakness, etc., he places also that his wife is barren. So, you know, we can't do anything, wallah, in the sense that if we want to have a child, we can't do that. Who will inherit from us? We are weak, we are unable. One. He says, wallah, I have never been unblessed in my invocation to you. What is he saying? The Arabic that is mentioned in the Quran. Oh Allah, you have never ever rejected my dua in the past. So this one I know you wouldn't reject. Understand? That's the wisdom and why he said that. Oh Allah, every dua I made, you accepted it. Every supplication I made, you accepted it. And now I am begging you for something like the past. Do not reject this dua. They are very beautiful words the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us when we are making dua. A person can say things, oh Allah, you have never let me down in my life. I have always held on to your support. I have done nothing except I consulted with you. I begged of you. Oh Allah, please help me in this affair just as you have helped me in the past. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when you make dua and supplicate to Allah, do not do it with a doubtful mind. Do it with a mind that you have full yaqeen. Oh Allah, yes, you can do it, oh Allah. And I believe you would do it for me. Allah will help you. When you make dua, well, if it happens, it happens. And if not, well, you know, same thing again. No, Allah does not accept such duas. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, make dua with the certainty of your mind, with firm yaqeen and firmness in your heart. Allah is all powerful. If Allah cannot do it, who can do it? It's Allah who is the one. That's the second thing he mentioned. Oh Allah, you have never rejected my duas in the past. This is another dua I make it. And the third thing, he says to Allah, oh Allah, that which I am asking for is not for my own use. It's not for my benefit. It is for the benefit of your deen and your religion, oh Allah. This is the important. Allah, this job I am doing, like we can say, Allah, it's not because of me, for me to become wealthy or rich. No, Allah, this is for your deen. This is your masjid. This is your house. This is your religion. This is your book. This is your Quran. Allah, I'm doing it for your deen. So help me so it will be beneficial to your deen. And this is how he placed this dua, the third thing. You attract Allah's rahmat by telling him that what you are doing, it is for the sake of his beautiful religion. So these are the three things that Zakariya alayhi salam placed before Allah, which is a lesson for us also. We supplicate because man is never without problems. We have problems. If we don't have it now, who knows in the future we won't have it. When we are ready to beg and cry before Allah and supplicate to Allah, there is a manner we can do it which will bring about Allah's acceptance. This is what Zakariya alayhi salam did. In this manner, through his utmost humility and submission, he submitted himself fully to Allah. He humbled himself right down to the ground. As a great Nabi, he humbled himself. Because of that, Zakariya's supplication was quickly answered, and he received the glad tidings of a son whose name was to be Yahya, a name which was never given to anyone before him. This information was brought to him through an angel who was asked by Prophet Zakariya alayhi salam about the manner in which the child will be born.
He said, "My Lord," verse 8, "how can I have a son?" Because the angel now told him that Allah says he will have a son. So what is he saying to the angel? He's praying. The angel will reply to him, but he's praying to Allah, "Rabbi, O Allah, how can I have a son when my wife is barren and I have reached the extreme old age?" This is what he explained, that his wife was barren and could not have offspring, and that he was also a very old man. Some commentators, they have stated that what Zakariya alayhi salam wanted to find out is that my wife is barren and I am very old. Is this child, the birth of this child, will it take place just as the normal children come, or what will happen? How would this child come? My wife is barren, I am old. How can this child come about? This is was the question. I believe, but oh Allah, how will it happen? Okay? But other commentators had given, or have given, another beautiful explanation which is mentioned here. That according to the scholars of the Holy Quran, the question raised by Zakariya alayhi salam was not one of denial or refusal. In other words, Allah says, "You will have a son," and Zakariya alayhi salam is saying, "That is impossible. I can't believe that." In that way, it's like you are refusing to believe what Allah tells you. You look at yourself, you look at the state of your wife, and it's like you are saying, "How can I have a child?" Yani, it means, well, that is impossible. It cannot happen. It was not like that. It was not that he's going against what Allah said, but instead it was one which was based on amazement and happiness. On one side, he was totally amazed to know that he never thought that he could have a child at this time. Never thought that his wife who is barren can still be a child. So he became extremely happy. And out of that happiness, he's saying, "Well, tell me how it's going to happen. How it's going to happen." In that manner, that was the nature of the questioning. Okay? However, since he was already 120 years old and his wife was 98, he wanted to know the medium through which this child will be born. His wife is barren, 98 years. He is 120 years old. How will this child be born? In response to this question, Allah informed Zakariya alayhi salam that this matter was very easy for him. Alayya hayyinun, very easy upon me, Allah says. He reminded Zakariya alayhi salam that he was also non-existent, and he, Allah, brought him into existence. As such, giving him a son is not a difficult task for him, that is for Allah. Not difficult at all. Oh Zakariya, once upon a time you were never there. Where were you? Your parents never knew that you would be born. They never had any knowledge that a person by the name of Zakariya will come. But here is it, you came up. And you are here today. So too, you don't know that a child will come. But just as you were nothing and I made you into something, so too right now that child is not there and I will make that child come from you. Seeing that this matter was totally miraculous in nature, and was not based on the physical causes, Zakariya alayhi salam wanted to know of a sign or an indication which will give him the knowledge that his wife had conceived. So he prayed to Allah saying, "My Lord, appoint for me a sign." Now, from what was told to Zakariya alayhi salam, he realized that this is not going to happen the normal way. Because he was old, his wife was barren. Normally, if it's going to happen through the normal way, based on what is connected to the actions of man and the reactions of certain things, a person will immediately know that the wife has conceived, or the wife herself will know that she has conceived in the normal course of human life. That is a normal thing. Now, this is not going to happen. When then will Zakariya know that his wife conceived? You understand? If it is not going to happen through their union, if it is not going to happen by their relationship, and if it is not going to happen by her experiencing certain things, and by him knowing
that he had done something, you know, had a relationship, and thereafter, then the child will come about. If this is not going to be the normal course, based on which a man can deduce that, well, you know, probably my wife has conceived, then what knowledge can he have? Besides the fact that obviously, you know, the signs of the childbearing will become apparent on her. But he wanted to know, what sign will you give me? What indication there will be to know that my wife has conceived? This is what Zakariya alayhi salam wanted to know. In other words, I want to know, Allah, whether and at what point in time my wife conceives. He asked for a sign. Appoint for me a sign. That was the nature of the sign he was asking for. He just wanted to know that during the course of day-to-day living, at what point in time that she will conceive. And afterwards it will run normal. So he said, my Lord, appoint for me a sign. Appoint for me a sign. Allah says, look at the top of that page, verse 10. Allah said, your sign is that you shall not speak unto mankind for 3 nights, though having no bodily defect. Now, when you read this in English, what do you mean? What do you understand? We understand, Allah says, you shall not speak, so you stop speaking to people. Isn't that so? You shall not speak. Okay, Allah is saying, the translation is that, you shall not speak. So listen, you don't speak to anybody. Does it mean, therefore, if Zakariya alayhi salam decides that from now until 3 days I'm not going to speak to anybody, you won't be able to speak. You will have your tongue, but I will stop you from speaking, and that will be from me. And that is a sign to tell you that your wife has conceived. You will try to speak, but the mouth, the tongue will not speak. The words will not come out. You will try, it will not come out. That is something I will shall cast upon you to let you know that when this is happening, it means your wife has conceived. That is the nature of what Allah said, you shall not speak. Yani, you will not be able to speak even if you are trying to speak to people. So in response to this, Allah revealed to him that the sign is that he will be made incapable of speaking. This is what the translation is. His explanation. This is it. He will be made incapable to speak to people for 3 days and 3 nights. He was further told when Allah says at the end, though, look at verse 10. Though having no bodily defect. What does it mean that though having no bodily defect? Means he was further told that this inability to speak will not be due to any sickness or ill health. Instead, it will be a state which Allah shall cast upon him to indicate to him that his wife had conceived. This everything is the doings of Allah now. He has no control over that. While explaining this state, the commentators have mentioned that Allah withheld his tongue from speaking to anyone. Allah did this. He wanted to speak to somebody, Allah removed that power of speech to the people. Allah withheld his tongue from speaking to anyone. However, in this state, he continued to praise and glorify Allah and also continued to recite the Torah. Ajeeb, strange thing. He used to make the hamd and thana of Allah throughout with the tongue. He will pick up the Torah and recite the Torah. But if anybody speaks to him and he turns to speak, he can't speak. Ajeeb. He just couldn't speak. That as it is recorded in Tafsir of Ibn Jarir. Whenever he desired to speak to others, he communicated to them through signs for 3 days and 3 nights. So which goes to show that he had no connection with what took place over him. He had absolutely no authority over that. That was a sign given to him by Allah to show him that the miraculous birth has started. Your son is on the way. In this manner, the will of Allah came to pass, and Yahya alayhi salam was born to Zakariya alayhi salam. While still as a young boy, he was endowed with great knowledge and wisdom. In this period, he was ordered to learn the Torah and hold fast unto it by preaching, practicing, and teaching it to others. And this is what is meant in verse 12. O Yahya, hold fast to the scripture. Okay? hold fast to the scripture, learn it, memorize it, practice it. And we gave him wisdom while yet a child. While he was still a young boy, a few years old, he was endowed with great wisdom. So much so that Hafiz ibn Kathir has recorded a tradition which states that Yahya was very young, a small boy, a few years, 5-6 years of age. While other young boys like his age, like him, they called him, they were going to play, and they called him to play, and they were pulling him. And he moved away from them saying, Mali hadha khuliktu, I was not created for this. Subhanallah. At that young age, he told them. That was based on the hikmat which Allah gave him. And we gave him wisdom while yet a child. While yet a child. As a child who followed in the footsteps of his father and held on to the teachings of the Torah. This was their book, because Isa was nowhere around at that time. So the Torah was their book. The Injil came afterwards. So as a child who followed in the footsteps of his father and held on to the teachings of the Torah, Allah made him pure and free from sins, and also blessed him with great piety and righteousness. Allah blessed, that was a blessing, pure, free from sins. Allah, along with these, he was also blessed with great compassion, love and mercy for others, and was extremely kind, dutiful and obedient to his parents. He was a direct response to the supplication which his father made when he said, Oh my Lord, grant me a pure and righteous son. As is mentioned in Surah Al-Imran. So he really became very pious and righteous, pure from sins. As such, he was the leader of the righteous in good deeds and was incomparable in taqwa and piety. No one could surpass him. The thought of any sin never entered his heart, subhanallah, like that of an angel. Not even the thought came to him. It was never like that. And he was never married. In his short life, he never got married. He remained like that, preaching the deen of Allah. Like his father, he was a righteous prophet whose heart was overpowered with the fear of Allah. He spent most of his time from the people, away from the people, in the desert areas and in the jungles. He will roam about, crying and weeping out of the fear of Allah, moving all alone by himself. It was at these places revelations were sent to him, after which he started to propagate the religion of Allah to the people living on the coast of the river of Jordan. In a tradition recorded by Imam Ahmad, Tirmizi and Ibn Majah, Haris Ash'ari radiallahu ta'ala reports that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, once Yahya alayhi salam guarded the Bani Israel in Baytul Maqdas, that's Masjid al-Aqsa, and said, Allah has ordered me to do 5 things. And he has ordered me that I should also invite you to them, so that you may also practice upon these 5. 1, he has ordered that you should not worship anyone besides him, and that you should not associate partners with him. Our first kalima. He has ordered that you perform salat with full sincerity and devotion. Salat was also with them. He has ordered that you observe the fast, Ramadan also, fast, the fasting. He has ordered that you give charity from your wealth. 5, he has ordered that during the day and night you should make his dhikr remembrance abundantly. This is a summary of the tradition recorded by Imams Ahmad, Tirmizi, Ibn Majah, alayhim rahmah. It's a long tradition. It's just the essence of that tradition. Ibn Asakir has quoted a few traditions from Wahab bin Munabbi, one of the rawis of Imam Bukhari, narrators, which state that the Prophet Yahya alayhi salam was one who wept so much out of the fear of Allah that the effects of his weeping had left permanent marks on his cheeks. Weeping, always weeping, always weeping. Subhanallah. Once it is stated that his father Zakariya alayhi salam was looking all over the place for him. He eventually met him in the jungle and he said, my son, your parents are troubled. They are trying to figure out, where have you gone to? And you are here and you are weeping, you are crying. So he said to his father, he said, oh my father, haven't you told me that there is a place between Jannat and Jahannam? No man will be able to cross that place except shedding tears out of the fear of Allah. The father said yes, and he also began to cry and weep. Very, very pious person. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in this same tradition recorded by Imam Tirmizi, these were the 5 things that Yahya alayhi salam was ordered to preach to the Bani Israel. But some reason or the other, he delayed in preaching it. Isa alayhi salam was not much younger than him. Isa alayhi salam was during his same time. So Isa alayhi salam met him and he said to him, he said, for whatever reason it is, you have not reached out that hukum of Allah as yet. If you give me permission, then I may do so. Yahya alayhi salam said, oh my brother, Allah has imposed that duty on me. And if I do not fulfill that duty, I fear that Allah will take me into account. Allah gave me that responsibility. So I will go and fulfill it. And that is where he guarded everybody in the Baitul Maqdas. He guarded everybody there. In another tradition, Hafiz ibn Kathir has also mentioned that. Once Isa alayhi salam met Yahya, and he said, he says, my brother, you make istighfar to Allah for me and ask Allah to forgive me. Isa is telling Yahya alayhi salam. Yahya alayhi salam said to him, brother, you are better than I. Anta khayru minni. You are far better than me. You should make dua for me. Isa alayhi salam says, no. Anta khayru minni. You are far better than me. Because I ask for salams to be upon my own self. وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيَّ يَوْمَ وُلِدْتُ. In the Quran, we'll come to that where Isa alayhi salam says, when he spoke from the cradle, he said, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon me. Who was asking for that? Isa alayhi salam. So he said, as for me, I ask for peace and salams upon me. As for you, Allah himself said it. سَلَامُنَ عَلَيْهِ. You are far better than me. Then he made dua for him. Besides conveying the message of truth to the people, one of the main tasks of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam was to inform the people of the coming of Isa alayhi salam and to testify to his truthfulness. As such, wherever he went, he proclaimed the coming of Isa and testified that he was a prophet of Allah, that he, Isa, who will be coming, he was also a prophet of Allah, so that the mission of Isa will be very easy. This, however, was not generally welcomed by the Jews, who made it difficult for him to spread the message. They disbelieved in him, opposed and persecuted him, until when they could not listen to him anymore, they ended his life while he was still preaching to them. They killed him. There are two different traditions, two sets of traditions that speaks about the Shahadat and the martyrdom of Yahya alayhi salam. And both are authentic. Because the riwayats and the traditions come in, it makes it authentic. One riwayat says, and it conforms, one riwayat conforms to the Israeli riwayat, the riwayat that comes from the Christians and the Jews themselves, that it was on one occasion when they confronted, when Yahya alayhi salam was preaching to the people, that after me Isa will come and he will preach to you, he's a prophet, and listen to him. So the Jewish people met him, says, who are you? Are you the Messiah and the Masih, which is promised by Musa? He says, no, I am not the Messiah. He says, they said to him, are you Elia, Elijah? Elia in Arabic, it's called. Are you Elia? He said, no, I am not Elia. Then they said to him, are you that prophet? He said, no, I am not that prophet. That prophet is Isa alayhi salam. No, sorry, I am not that prophet. That prophet was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was prophesied by Musa alayhi salam. You know that in the books it is mentioned where he said, there will come a prophet who shall speak in the name of Allah and who will fit in the shoes of Musa alayhi salam. He will be just like Musa alayhi salam. So the Jews believe that Elijah will come again. His life was not complete. So this is why they ask him these three questions. And from their knowledge, they were expecting three people to come. One was the Messiah, who was Isa alayhi salam, Al-Masih. Allah calls him the Messiah in the Quran, Al-Masih. Masih means Messiah. It means the one who is anointed, you know, who has been given that responsibility of being a Nabi by Allah, Messiah. They expected Elijah to come back again, Elia. So they were asking. And they also expected a prophet to come. So they asked him, are you that prophet? He said, no. They said, well then, who are you? They became angry because he was not responding to what they said. He says, I am the announcer from the jungle, who announces to you that this prophet who is coming, the Messiah, you should obey him and listen to him. The real job was the job of Isa alayhi salam. Yahya was the forerunner to Isa alayhi salam. That's why in his own words, he himself, in based on certain scriptures, I have come to pave the way for the prophet. So when he said that, they became angry and they fell on him from all sides until right there and then they killed him. Another tradition recorded by Ibn Asakir, this is a famous muhaddith and great Islamic historian who is known for his scrutiny in traditions before he accepts it. He said what happened is that the king of that area at that time had divorced his wife. And he wanted to marry her again, but he could not marry her because of the fact that the scripture said he divorced her and he could not marry her like that. The prophet at that time preaching was Yahya alayhi salam. So the woman also wanted to get back married to the king. And she said, give me permission to ask Yahya, what is the law concerning that? So they sent and they asked him. He says, you are haram for your husband. He has divorced you. You cannot live with him again. She threatened to kill him. He says, no, you are haram. You cannot live with your husband anymore. Until hearing that again and again, she became so angry that she sent for his head. And she sent those soldiers under her to behead him. And she sent a tray. They beheaded him. They placed the tray, the head in the tray, and presented that head before her. She wanted the head. Miraculously, blood was still flowing from the head, and the mouth was still speaking, anti haramun alayhi, anti haramun alayhi. You are still haram for your husband. You are still haram for your husband. It happened. Authentic tradition. So whatever it was, Yahya was killed. He was assassinated. He gained martyrdom. The people ended his life. Having ended his life, the Jews now turned to the father and without much delay also killed the prophet Zakaria alayhi salam. They went behind Zakaria alayhi salam. Zakaria alayhi salam started to run away from them. And there was no place for him to turn, except that he saw a tree in front of him. And he indicated to the tree, and the tree opened itself. And he went inside the tree. And the tree closed up. They came and they were looking for him. Then they realized the only place that he could be hiding is here. And from the top of the tree, they took the sword. And they brought it straight down in the middle and cut him into two pieces. And that was the end of Zakaria alayhi salam. Both of them gained martyrdom. So those were some of the things that are mentioned elsewhere and are connected to his life. But the passage that speaks about Yahya alayhi salam ends with verse 15, where it says, and salamun, peace be on him, the day he was born, the day he dies, and the day he will be raised up to life again. That's on the day of judgment. It states in concluding the blessed life of Prophet Yahya alayhi salam, the Quran states, and peace be on him, the day he was born, the day he dies, and the day he will be raised to life again. This verse mentions that on three occasions the special blessings of Allah were sent to Yahya alayhi salam. Firstly, he was blessed with peace at the time when he came from the womb of his mother and entered the face of the earth. That is the time you need Allah's blessings. Secondly, he was blessed at the time of his death. And thirdly, he will receive the great blessings of Allah when he is raised on the day of judgment. On this verse, the great Mufassir Ibn Atiyah states that Yahya alayhi salam received Allah's special blessings at such occasions when man is totally weak, when he is in desperate need, and when all his affairs will be in the total control of Allah. When a person is born, he's totally weak. So many things can happen while he's coming from the womb of his mother. Many children die. So many things happen. They enter the face of the earth. What their life will be like, Allah alone knows. So when man is totally weak, first of all, that point, Allah's blessings came to him. Another time when a man is desperately in need of Allah is when he is dying. When he is dying, he needs Allah. The Quran says, and peace be upon him at that time. And the other time is on the day of judgment, when Allah will be the governor and controller of all the affairs, and you do not know what decision Allah will make for you. The Quran says Yahya will be blessed there also. Three times. So inshallah we'll stop there and we'll continue. There is an
announcement here. Someone sent a brother on this paper. Assalamu alaikum. The Nur Islam Youth Organization invites all brothers and sisters to a lecture on Saturday, 11th of February 2000. That's a Saturday coming by myself, Mufti Wasim Khan. It's written here, so I'm reading it out. And the topic, the development of the Madhahib, part 2. The Madhahib, the schools of Islamic jurisprudence. It's a very important lecture, a very interesting lecture, especially in the day and age where people, you know, so many things have started to happen, remarks are being used, criticism, condemnation, and all these things. And it's very, very important for us to understand the development of Islam, of knowledge, ilm, coming from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to those great scholars that we always hear about. How did it reach down, passing through the tabi'in, through the tabi tabi'in? Where these things come from? So inshallah, we'll have part two of it, hoping to conclude on that day, inshallah. Okay? Assalamu alaikum.